Welcome to Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rivka Siegel, and today we will be studying Tehillim Mizmor Kuf Yud Gimel 113. We're now beginning the tefillah we await every Yontif and Rosh Chodesh, the Hallel. The next six Mizmorim constitute what is referred to as the Hallel Mitzri, the Egyptian Hallel, as it was inspired, at least at the beginning, by our leaving Egypt. In these six Mizmorim, we will hear the voices of the entire Jewish nation, and we will hear voices of individuals. We will hear voices feeling triumphant and voices in pain. We will hear voices of non-Jewish nations and even voices of nature. We'll hear voices from the past, the present, and the future. But most important is hearing and finding our own voice, our own connection to these timeless words of Hallel. The various Mizmorim of Hallel are attributed to several people, several authors, as it's brought down in Psachim Kuf Yud Zayin, Psachim 117. And these people were inspired by various miracles. So as we sing these beautiful songs, we join our ancestors who passionately sang these words. Moshe and the Jewish people who sang this when they left Egypt. Yehoshua, as he led the nation into the land of Canaan, they too sang these words. Barak and Devorah, who sang these songs when they defeated the evil Sisera. Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah, who sang this when they were saved from the fiery furnace of Nebuchadnezzar. Mordechai and Esther, who sang these words when they were saved from Haman's clutches in the time of the Persian rule. David HaMelech, who sang these words and inspired the nation to sing with him for eternity. For generations, our ancestors have sung these songs, each with their own experiences of personal and national salvations of Hashem. So let's begin with the most glorious word of praise. Hallelujah, Pasuk Aleph. And what we can now see is the responsive nature, the responsive structure of Hallel, or most of Hallel, as it begins with the leader and people answering the leader. And the leader calls out to everyone, Hallelujah, Avdei Hashem, praise him, servants of God. Hallelujah, Shem Hashem, praise the name of Hashem. And we answer, Yehi Shem Hashem Mevorach Me'ata V'Yed Olam. May the name of Hashem be blessed from now and forever. It's an interesting thing to note that at the beginning, we are addressed as Avdei Hashem, as servants of Hashem. Usually it's not such a complimentary title to be called a servant. We could be called children of Hashem, the nation of Hashem, but we're called servants, and we'll see why. The Medrash Shochar Tov, which is the Medrash on Tehillim, even suggests that we call out about ourselves, Avdei Hashem. It's as if the leader says, Hallelujah, praise. And who's going to praise? Who jumps up? And we say, Avdei Hashem, the servants of Hashem, we're going to praise Hashem. So we call ourselves slaves, and we're servants. We usually think of servants as having the lowest possible status. But not when your servants are slaves to God. And it took Paro, the king of Mitzrayim, to teach us this. The Medrash in Yalkut Shimoni tells us that on the night of Makas Bechoros, the plague of the death of the firstborns, Paro banged on the door of Moshe and Aaron in the middle of the night and said, that's it, leave, get out. And Moshe and Aaron said, we aren't going to leave in the middle of the night. Rather, we're leaving during the day in an honorable way. But Paro wanted us out now. He didn't want any more Egyptians to die. So Moshe told him, we aren't going to leave until the morning. But you can say now, behold, you are free people. So Paro went out and said to the Jews in Egypt, yesterday you were my servants, but today you are free. Now you are servants to God, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You must praise him. In Egypt, we were totally subservient to the will of Paro. When we left Egypt, we understood We now have a new master and we need to be subservient to him. So what's the freedom? One might think that freedom is being able to decide for ourselves how we want to live without anyone telling us what to do. You know, I saw recently a young man with this black t-shirt, and on it had a big white words that said, "I answer to no one." Okay? When we follow God's will, when we listen to him for direction, the more we become our true selves, the more meaning life has, and the more we can experience joy. Answering to God is the most empowering feeling that one can, empowering and also a feeling of freedom, because we are free to ultimately be who we need to be. So we, as Avdei Hashem, as servants to God, begin praising and blessing God. And we're probably the only slaves who wholeheartedly feel that they can praise their master. And now we begin the praises, Pasuk Gimel. Mimizrach Shemesh Admevo'o Mehulal Shem Hashem. From the rising of the sun until it sets, Hashem's name should be praised. It's not just that Hashem should be praised forever and ever, but now we elaborate. At every moment, the sun is either rising or setting somewhere. From one end of the earth till the other end of the earth, God's name should be praised. Or from morning, when the sun rises, until the sun sets, we praise Hashem constantly. And what are we praising Hashem about? Pasuk Dalet. Ram al kol goyim Hashem. Hashem is exalted. Hashem is high over all the nations. Al hashamayim kivodo. Above the heavens is his glory. It is so elevated. He is above time, space. He's above any limitations. And there are so many people who believe in God as the creator, as a supreme power. Even some idol worshippers believe that God created the world. But we, Pasukim Hei and Vav, but we see Hashem, Mi Hashem Elokeinu Hamagbi Lashaves. But who is like Hashem, our God, who sits on high, Hamashpili Liros Bashamayim Uva'aretz, yet he comes down to see both the heavens and the earth. The Avdei Hashem, we realize not just that God is a God that's so above everything, but he's Elokeinu. He lowers himself to be accessible to all of us. Mikimi psukim zayin and ches. Mikimi me'afar dal me'ashpos yorim evyon. He raises up the needy from the dust, from the garbage, he raises the destitute. He comes down to the lowest point to raise people up and to raise the lowest people up. And when he does, lohoshivi im nidivim im nidivei amo, so he puts these people who are feeling so low and he raises them so that they will sit with the princes of his nation. He can bring the person who feels so low, the dal, or he's treated by others as so low where other people's opinions bring him down so low, and elevate him to a place of royalty. Is that not the story of every individual who left Egypt? It's the story of David HaMelech, who was in such a low place, and then God elevated him to be the king of Israel. Anything can happen. God, if you look at the Pasuk, in Pesukim Zayin Ches, it looks like God is serving us and God is elevating us. God can transform our lives so much that Pasuk tests the final Pasuk, Moshivi Akeres Habayis, Eim Habanim Smecha. He turns the barren woman in her house into a happy mother of children. It could be a metaphor for someone who feels so cut off from her mission in life. And Hashem will transform her so quickly she can see how important and valuable she is. It could be that we hear in this final pasuk the words of Chana, the mother of Shmuel, who was an Akara, who was a barren woman, and she became such a happy mother of children. We hear the voice of Sarah and Rivka and Rachel. But Rashi tells us that this is, in addition, a metaphor to Tzion, who right now feels barren. Yerushalayim is compared to an Akara, Rani Akara lo yalda. Yerushalayim feels cut off because it can't provide the proper home with the Beis HaMikdash for the Jewish people right now. But just like the Akara, the barren woman will be happy and not feel cut off. Yerushalayim will be happy. And when Yerushalayim will be happy, we will all be happy because Yerushalayim will be in a place of Geula, and so will we. Our Master, Hashem, takes care of us. Now, let's go back a little bit because notice five words in this Mizmor with the superfluous letter Yud. That's at the end. Hamagbi, he elevates himself. Hamashpili, Liros, he lowers himself to see. Mikimi, he lifts up Me'afardal from the dust of a poor person. Lahoshivi, to make sit. Moshivi, he places. And these yuds are part of a poetic license that the words are not grammatically correct. But on a poetic level, they help us to see ourselves in the song. Let me explain. The Maharam of Vilada, who was from the 16th century Greece, explains that the yud at the end of these words make it seem, as we're singing it, that it's about me. Because generally in Hebrew, when the verb or the song or the word ends with a yud, it's about my action. For example, halachti is I walked. Karati is I called. The E, all of a sudden I think about me as an individual. It's about me. The superfluous yuds imply that it is my behavior, my praise, my acknowledgement of Hashem that determines how and when God descends into the world and what he does when he descends into the world. In other words, the better and more loyal a servant I am, the closer God is to me. And when I am ready to serve God with pride, he is ready to make anything happen for me and for us. And we will see one of our favorite examples of this tomorrow in Mizmor Kuf Yudalet 114. Thank you for studying together, Le'iloi Nishmas, Sonia Finkelstein, Chana Sara Bas Chaim Leib.